The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. I think as we continue this little catechesis on prayer that we've been walking through this week, especially today with my efforts to not confuse everybody, we got a beautiful little snapshot of what prayer is here in the gospel. This you and me and I and them and they, okay, but what we're looking at is this beautiful intimacy between Jesus, right, the Son, and his Father. And we, as praying people, are made to participate in that exchange. Because by our baptism, we're made sons in the Son. And so this same unity that we see with the Father and the Son, we enter as sons and daughters of God. And our readings even give us some sense of, you know, what our experience of this is. A hope-filled experience that because we've been inserted into the Trinity, in that sense that we commune with the Father, right, through the Spirit in the Son, that we have great hope because there's more for us. What God has given us and what God is giving us in the present moment surely will not be taken away and surely will be added to when his kingdom of righteousness and truth and goodness is firmly and finally established on earth as it is in heaven. But I'd like to look at, in our continuing catechesis on prayer, is the fact that our private prayer ought to take up the same pattern as the church's public prayer. Okay, specifically the Mass. So we have to think about how our own private prayer conforms to what our experience is at the Mass and how the Mass informs our private prayer. So we see that we begin our Mass, our celebration, right, with certainly the sign of the cross and the Christian greeting that we take from St. Paul and other places, that we greet the Lord, that the Lord in fact greets us and extends to us his peace. That's a given, right? What God is extending to us, that's a given. But we have to come before him and ask forgiveness, right? And if we do this day by day, right? If we pray every day and give God some good portion of time every day, which we need to do, then we'll find that our review of the previous day, right? The baggage that we're bringing with us from the past 24, 23 hours has to be sorted through with God. And we have to experience anew where we went astray in order that God might continue to train us, right? And show us his love in the places where we've turned away from him so that he'll bring us back to himself. And that I say training because as we go out from that experience, we're less and less likely to fall prey to the same temptations because God has shown us his mercy there. and given us hearts then that understand we don't have to leave him to the side and go about, you know, what we want to do, that in fact we can walk every day and every moment with God, right? So there's a training there. But we come before him and we submit ourselves to him, beseeching his mercy. That's what we do at the beginning of the Mass. Okay? This is not going to be like as long as another Mass, my homily this morning, right? So we got two Masses, and today one I explain the Mass and the other we actually do it. Some quick hits, right? We look at the Old Testament, which is generally where our readings are from, except in Easter season we see the Acts of the Apostles. We're looking at God's faithfulness to his people. Okay, the Old Testament, Israel, the new Israel in the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, but here we see God's faithfulness does not fail. That's pretty significant for us, right? And especially when we look at the Old Testament, God's faithfulness does not fail, even in the midst of the infidelity of Israel. Okay, so what does that tell us? Yeah, we are unfaithful. We know it, right? If we know our hearts, we know that we stray from God. But God is faithful. So we start to trust, right? We can start to put ourselves in his hands because he's faithful and he's forgiving, he's merciful, right? So we can move in that direction. And the psalm that gives expression to our response to God's faithfulness. And then we look at the gospel, right? That way in which God establishes his kingship over all, right? So not just that we see his faithfulness in our infidelity, but we see there's much more. That God rules over all, and we want him to rule in our hearts and lives. We don't want to create our own stories. We want to be part of God's story. Right? We want to be knit together by God and to be brought into that kingdom of righteousness and of justice and of peace that he promises us. Right? And we see the saving work of Jesus that, in fact, has reconciled us to God, and we then are the recipients of that. And this all plays out in our prayer. Right, we see the pattern of it in our prayer, inasmuch as I'd say, one, Scripture ought to be some part of our prayer. Right? The living Word of God ought to be some part of our prayer. Else we just become navel gazers. We're just looking at ourselves, right? But also this entrusting ourselves to God is a process. Right? And it climaxes in our offering here, right? Through him and with him and in him. Everything we have and everything we are offering to God at the altar, the rest of the Mass has prepared us for that. And likewise in our private prayer, that fuller and fuller, freer and freer giving of ourselves to God is what makes for our reception of him. As we give, so we receive. Right? The more we're able to empty ourselves, to turn over our hearts and lives to God, the more he gives, or the more we receive of the gift that he already is giving to us. And that's in prayer. Here at the altar, the more able we are, the better we make this offering of ourselves at the altar, the more we receive when finally we commune with God by receiving his body and blood, and so become in fuller measure his body and blood for the world. But the Eucharist animates us, right? Gives us strength. That's our life as Christians, receiving communion and then going and living out of the Eucharist, living out of that strength that we've been given. So too prayer, inasmuch as we, giving our lives over to God, are brought again into communion with him and therefore are opened to the life of the Spirit, say, coursing through our veins, right? Coming into our hearts and flowing through our hearts into the world. So we have, if our prayer, right, is informed by what we do here at Mass, then we can be sure that it is efficacious. We can be sure that it is in line with what God wants for us. And what does God want for us but a fully flourishing human life, right? What God wants for us God wants more for us than we want for ourselves. But it's all about communion with him. It's all about, as we see in the gospel, the intimacy that we share with him. Because we don't have to look far back, the Acts of the Apostles. When the Spirit is leading Paul from Jerusalem to Rome, we're in trouble. Right? Because that's where he's going to die. But for Paul, life is Christ, and death is gain. Because it's all communion with God. That's what our Mass is all about. That's what our prayer is all about. And that's what gives us the freedom to be reckless in bringing about God's kingdom on earth. The recklessness required to go out and love whomever we come in contact with, no matter what the cost.